All right, welcome back to I don't know, what is this? Week 5 of CS75. So last week we were finishing up XML, and this week we are going to go into MySQL and databases. So now is the time when you finally get to store persistent information about your users on your server. And so, obviously this makes your website, gives you a lot more options and a lot more flexibility. You can do a lot more things. Any website nowadays that's, even moderately useful is going to have some sort of database at the end. If you're on, in the back, if you're on Facebook, the database is keeping all of your pictures, all of your personal information. If you have email, the email is stored in databases. Everything is in databases nowadays. And so MySQL is a free open source database engine. And it's very, very powerful. In fact, Facebook is run entirely on MySQL. So you can do pretty much whatever you want with MySQL. So we'll go into a couple of examples today with MySQL. We'll show you how to access your databases with PHP. We'll show you how to create and administer your databases with PHP MyAdmin also. So if you remember from last week, we did an introduction to a little bit of object-oriented programming with PHP and some classes. And so this was the student class, and actually today we'll use this example further. So what I did was I wrote up a little app that allows me to manage information about my students. And so right now, I don't have any students. But what I can do here is I can click and I can add a student, and why not, I'll add myself and put in an ID number. That sounds like a good ID number for me. And phone number, don't go calling it. If I hit add student, now what's happened is this student has actually been, I have been added to the MySQL database. And if we go to my student list right here, now you'll see that I appear on the list. And so this information is actually stored in a database on the server, which in this case is just my XAMPP server on my local host. But you'll all get database accounts on the CS75 server. And actually, I can add more students. So let's add another student. Let's just call him John Smith. I'm very original with the names, and we'll give him another ID number and nice phone number. If we add him, now we'll see, okay. Go to my student list. I have Jesse Cohen. I have John Smith here. And if I click on the links, I can actually sort by various things. So I can sort by name. Well, in this case, it's all sorted. But anyway, I can sort and I can add my students. I can edit grades for my students. So let's say Jesse Cohen doesn't have some grades yet. Let me put in some grades for myself here. Let's say I got like that. Okay, so I haven't been doing too well, clearly. I confirm my changes. And if we go back to my students now, you'll see that I have a pretty low GPA, right? And we can go now and see that, yes, these grades are actually, in fact, stored and they're in the database. So we're going to look at how we did all of this today. So first thing I had to do was I had to create a database to store my stuff. And you can do this via the command line, but it's much easier to do it via PHP MyAdmin. And so you'll all have, if you haven't gotten already, you'll all soon have accounts at cs75.net for PHP MyAdmin. You'll have a database account. And when you log in with your username and your password, you'll see a screen that looks something like this, except that over here you won't see anything because you won't have any tables created yet. So a database is a collection of tables in MySQL. And each table, you can think of it almost like an Excel spreadsheet. It's got, like some rows, it's got some column headings, and then you add a new row for information like that. So, for example, if we look at my students table right now and we want to see what is in the table, well, let's just refresh because I added some stuff. So you'll see we have a students table that has two records. If we browse it, we'll see the two records that we just added right here. The name, the ID, the phone, the grades. And so the first thing you'll probably want to do for your website is create your own table. So how do you do that? On your homepage right here, it says create a new table. And I'll just walk you through how I created the students table. We'll create another one here. So let's call it name, students test. Okay? And so number of fields is the number of columns in the table. So in my students table, I actually had a name, I had an ID number, I had a telephone number, I had an entry for GPA, And then I had one other column where I stored all of the grades. So that's five columns. So I wanted five entries in mine. And so I'm going to hit go here, and then you're going to be brought to this field right here, which now you, it creates an entry for each of the five fields that you want, and then you specify what it is. So I had a name, I had an ID number, I had a phone number, I had grades, and I had GPA. And so this actually can get a little bit complicated, but you don't have to, you'll see here that there are lots of options to select for each field. Most of them you don't have to ever touch. So name, type is what type of, what data type you want to store. So PHP sort of came up with the data types. It was dynamically typed. Here you're going to have to be a little bit more explicit, specify your data types. It helps the database engine. So name is just a string. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it varchar. Varchar just says a series of characters. I don't want it to have a length greater than, let's say, a reasonable length for a name is 20. So I'm going to put that length there. Default is, what do I want the default value for this name to be? And so I really don't want a default value. Like, I mean, if somebody doesn't put in a name, default value means if you add a row to this database and you don't specify a value for name, should we give it some default value? So like, for example, GPA. Let's say when I add a row to the database, you know, I'm not adding any grades, and in fact I'm not. So maybe I want to give the GPA a default value of -1. So I know that, okay, I don't have any grades here, right? But for name, I don't. If we go here, collation, attributes. Attributes are sometimes useful if you have an integer and you want it to be unsigned or something like that, but not useful here. Null is pretty important. Null is saying, are we going to allow a row in our database, are we going to allow this entry in a row in our database to be empty? Meaning, can somebody insert a record into our database with no name? And if we want to allow that, when we would check this checkbox here to allow a null entry, which would mean an empty entry. But we don't want to do that, so we're going to leave it blank. Index. So indexing has to do with searching. So the point of a database really is to have very, very quick access to your information. You want to be able to look things up in the database quickly. You want to be able to query them. And, you know, right now our database has only two entries, so we'll be able to look it up quickly no matter what. But let's say you have a database with 100 million entries, like Facebook, or if you're, you know, Amazon.com or something like this. You're going to want to index your database. And indexing allows you to search fast. And so there are actually several different types of index. So primary just means it's a type, it's the same thing as an index, except that you're only allowed to have one primary index on your database. And the idea is this is the index that you're going to use the most frequently or such. Unique means that the entry in this field cannot be duplicated across the database. So let's say I don't want to allow two students with the same name, then I would hit unique here. And so let's say I try to insert another student named Jesse Cohen. SQL wouldn't let me do that because there's already one in the database. Index is just a standard index. It compiles a series of keys so that the database can be searched quickly. And full text is something special if you have very, very long text fields. But the main ones that you're going to be using are primary, unique, and index. AI, you don't need to worry about. I don't even know what that is. Comments, if you want to leave some notes for yourself. And browser transformation options, I don't even know what that is. So, yeah. So, name, we just want to make it a normal index. Okay, so we've created name. Why doesn't somebody tell me, what do you think I want for ID? Well, what type should it be? An ID is like a number, right? So what do you think is a reasonable type? I'll put out the list of types here. Integer, yeah, exactly. Integer is a great type for ID. Okay, and then default, I don't really want to allow a default value. I want every student to have their own ID. So we'll do that. Now let's go here. Do you think that we should allow ID to be null?
We'd want unique IDs, right?
We'd want unique IDs, exactly. So what should I do here?
Select.
Yes. Exactly. I want to make ID the unique key for my database, which means that we can't have two students with the same ID. conceivably, we could have two students with the same name, right? Which is why I didn't make name unique. But because lots of people have the same name. But ID, I want that unique. And then we go so on and so forth. We go through here. Phone grades int. And when you're done, you'd click save. And it would create your database. But since we already have one, we can just go here and look at it. So if I look at the structure of my database, you can see what I have. I have here name is varchar, as we did, ID. Phone is varchar because sometimes there's like dashes or pluses or hyphens in the phone number. It's not just an integer. Grades. So grades actually I'm storing as a long string of text. And it gets a little confusing because ideally I'd like to store my grades as an array, which you can't really do. So I'm actually, in my PHP script, I'm taking my array of grades, I'm transforming them into a long string of text, and then I'm popping this into the database here. And you see I'm allowing none of these to be null. And I've got a default value of -1 for my GPA. All right, so let's look at the most simple thing, list.php. So if you remember, list.php just lets me look at all of my students like this, right? So what is it doing? Well, any questions about PHP MyAdmin first? Actually, so PHP MyAdmin is going to be helpful, especially when you're debugging. Because if you go to PHP MyAdmin and you get to your table, you can click Browse, and then you can look at the fields. And if you want to, you can actually even insert records manually. If I go to Insert over here, I can insert a new record manually in my table. So maybe I want to test something in my PHP script. I need a special record in my table. I can insert manually here. When you're formulating SQL queries, which have to have like special string formulation, you can test your SQL queries here. And so if you're developing, you might also want to test using the SQL tab here. But anyway, so let's go look at this. So here I just have two files. One is student.php, which was the class file that we came up last week, which had all of the public and the private methods for the class. And the other one is constants.php. And constants.php just has my database username and password, which right now is root because I'm running on my local host. And I also had this function in here, which I ended up not using. But anyway, so require once just allow you to incorporate other PHP files into your PHP file or to use what's defined there. And so, okay, here's the interesting part. So first thing you need to do is you need to connect to the database server. Okay, and so in this case, I'm running on XAMPP, so it's localhost. But for CS75, it'll be something probably like mysql.cs75.net. This will all be in the problem set. And so I'm connecting with the username, and if there's a password, you would be adding the password too. And whenever you're calling a MySQL function, you want to test for error conditions because, you know, these things can fail for a number of reasons. So you always want to have, you know, if it's equal to false, if the connection fails, it will return false, then we have to, like, you know, exit gracefully, not do something bad. Okay. So after that, I want to select the database. So you can have multiple databases on a server, of course. And so a database is not the same thing as a table. If a database can have multiple tables. The table's like a spreadsheet or something. Database can have multiple tables. The database in this case is just the same. It has you have a database name. You'll get that too. This will all be actually created for you. And so these are all functions here. All right. So then this is just a little thing. Remember when I implemented the sorting thing? We'll go back to that later, actually. So now I'm executing my MySQL query. So this is basically saying we're going to take this string. MySQL parses strings that you give it. And then it looks at the strings, it decides what to do, and it sends you back information. So we're going to give this string, select star from students. Don't worry about sort now. Let's pretend sort is just empty string. It's nothing. What this is telling MySQL is look at the table students, which, you know, we just showed you how I created it, and get me every single row from it. So there are a number of MySQL keywords that are going to be important to you. So we can write some of them here. We've got select. And we can just, you know, select from. That's the format. We have insert into blank values. We have delete there's some more. We have update. These are the main ones that you're going to want to use. Select basically searches the table, right? Insert adds you a new entry. Delete gets rid of an entry. Update finds an existing entry and changes it. And then there are some other things which are useful too. And we're going to have examples of all of these today. And next week we'll go into some more sophisticated examples. So here I'm just getting every single row from the table, right? Because my goal now is just to print every single student that I have. And so here I'm just printing the top of the table, nothing special really. And okay, so if you notice, I have MySQL query gives me a result. And you can think of a result just as sort of a token for your database query. And so you call this function MySQL fetch array on result, and you can think of result as a collection of rows. You don't know how a row is structured. MySQL fetch array will take the first row off of your result and give it to you as an array of values. So that's why we're doing while. And once you run out of rows in your result, once you've gone through all of them, it'll give you zero. So your while will fail, or it'll give you the empty array or something. So here we're simply just going through every single row that I'm getting in my result, and I'm just printing it out, right? So row zero, and it returns you the entries in the order that you ask for them. So in this case, I did select star. And select star means get me every single field in the row. And so in that case, it will get me every single field in the order in which it was defined. So name is the zeroth entry, ID is the first, phone second, grade. I could have also, let's say I didn't want the phone number or something like that. Or I only wanted the name and the ID. I could have done this. Select name, ID from dot, dot, dot. And so this would have gotten me only the name and the ID back. So in this case, row 0 would be name, row 1 would be ID. Is that clear? Okay, so here I'm simply just iterating through in the loop. I'm printing each out, and I'm checking if the GPA isn't set because there's no grades, I'm printing NA instead of negative 1 because NA is nicer, looks nicer than negative 1. And then I'm creating these two links, edit and remove. And if you notice, I'm passing on edit.php the ID number, right? So when I go to edit.php, it's going to have that student's ID number. And what do you think, edit.php? So we'll go into that in a second, actually. So any questions about this? How I'm printing out all of the entries? I made the database query. I did my select star. And then I got every row as a result and printed out the information in the row using PHP.
Or why you specified like hard-coded
right. row 4? Because, okay, so I do that because my GPA is stored as a float, right? And so GPA is from like 0 to 4, right?
Oh.
And so, but if I don't have any grades, I just decided that I'm going to store GPA as a negative 1. Because I don't have any grades with which to calculate a GPA. So instead of printing out negative 1, I want to print out NA instead. Not applicable, right? So if you look here, like, I have some grades for Jesse Cohen, Joe Smith, if you look here, Joe Smith has no grades yet, add some, right? So
that. Is your loop broken up?
Yeah, my loop is broken up. I just did that so I wouldn't have to put, like, tons of echoes in, but you could have just as easily done it. Because then, if I hadn't broken up my loop, I would have had to do this, right? So let's say I had done this. Then I would have had to do, then the echoes could get messy. I would have to do like echo all of this, And then I would have to, like, concatenate this. It's ugly.
It's a lot easier.
It's a lot easier to, yeah. And so that's perfectly valid, actually. You can do this. What did I have here? Yeah. But I do have to have the, you know, the PHP markers in here around these echoes in the middle, like that. Okay, so once we've got a student, we want to go and edit their grade. So if I click edit on myself, we'll see I've got these grades. And I can add some more grades for myself. So I didn't do too well. Let's say I studied a little bit harder and I started, you know, getting some better grades, but probably still not enough to bring up my GPA. I can confirm my changes, and we'll see that my GPA is now quite a bit higher than before. So how do you think edit works? If you notice, when I click on this link, and if we look at how I structured it in list.php, so we go to edit.php. It's a link to edit.php, and it passes in the ID via post or via get. Which is it?
Get.
It's get, exactly, because it's passed on the line with the URL. So it's just passing in the ID. And so edit.php, what do you think edit has to do? So if you notice, when I click on edit.php, it knows my name, right? And it knows all of my grades. So what do I have to do that? And how do you think I, if somebody had to guess as to how I did this before we look at the source code together, what would you say? I did. We're giving edit my ID number.
Session cookie?
Well, we could have stored this in the session, but we're storing all this stuff in the database. We're actually not doing anything with sessions here. Yeah.
You use the ID to search the, to select from.
Right. Okay. Exactly. So I want to get my record from the database. My student record. What select do I write? Let's just modify this here. So select star will just get me everything in my row. From the database name is students. So right now, this line, if we just look at this line here, it's going to get me every single row in the database, right? But I don't want every single row. I want only my row. So what I do actually is I use where. And where is like a specifier. And then I have where ID is equal to, you know, whatever my ID number is. And then that will just get me my row from the database. So where allows you to, you know, to specify a condition. It's like a search almost. So if we look at edit.php, we do exactly that. First, we have to connect, which, you know, you always have to do. And you could obviously encapsulate this thing into like a nice little function. So you don't have to write these 10 or so lines of code at the top of every file, right? And it would be easy to do that. And so here I'm doing select star from students where ID equals, and I'm getting the ID, you know, from the URL. So there are a number of, you know, problems with this. One problem is that we should have done a lot of error checking on the get ID before we did. But since this is just an example and that would have taken a lot of code, we didn't. But it's important that you'd always do error checking. It gets even more important with SQL because you can do things like SQL injection attacks, which maybe we'll demonstrate later on today. And so we're getting the result. And even though we're only getting one row back here, we still have to do MySQL fetch array on the result. And so now in row is stored my student record. Okay. And so we've got edit a student. And now we're creating this form, which, as we looked before, had all of my grades, you know, in boxes. So I'm just, row zero is just my name, right? Because the first thing in the database is my name. And then, okay, so here I'm doing something kind of cool. I'm calling a function called explode. So what I decided to do in this database is store all of my grades as a long string of text separated by commas. So I'm doing G1, G2, G3, comma, these are all of my grades. And so explode actually takes a string, will separate it. Explode takes two arguments. It will take a string, it will parse it into bits separated by the first argument and store it in an array. So if you notice, I'm just doing here explode with the comma, my row 3. So row 3 is this long string of grades. And I'm just literally saying go through the row, separate each grade out. You know where a grade ends because there's a comma after it, and store it in this array of grades. And I'm doing that. And so the reason I chose to store it this way is because I don't know how many grades are going to be stored for each student. But let's say we knew that each student only has 10 grades and exactly 10 grades. Well, what could we have done in that case? Well, one thing that we could have done, nice thing to do, is we could have had another table called grades. And then the table called grades would just have the structure. You know, it would just have the structure ID number, and then grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, up to, you know, grade 10. Each of these is its own field in the table. And then you could have just had an entry for each student in this table, right? So here's my ID, and then I can have all my grades like that. And so in that case, we could have just done... Well, to search that table, we could have just done select star from... Well, the table now is called grades, right? So this is the important distinction between, you know, a database can contain more than one table. So this is a table grades, the other one is a table students, where ID equals such and such, right? So we could have done it that way, but that way every student would have to have the same number of grades. Since I didn't know in advance how many grades I wanted per student, I decided to do it this way. So I'm doing that, and then I'm just going through the grades, and each grade I'm creating a little form box. And I'm making this an array. So have people seen arrays before, passed as forms passing arrays into PHP scripts? Have we seen that before? No. Okay. So what this means literally is in my underscore post, name, this itself is going to be an array. So if you look at the form here, if we look at the source code, you'll notice every single field in this form has the same exact name, right? And the brackets afterwards say that, okay, I want this to be an array. So what the browser is actually going to do is it's going to take each of these fields, you know, package them up together in some sort of format and pass it to my PHP script, and then it will be loaded in underscore post name. That will be an array itself. So then I'm just going through the array, and I'm printing out my form, you know, and if I don't have any grades yet, I'm saying, okay, Jesse has no grades yet, add some. Okay, so that's pretty much it. That's what I'm doing for my edit page, right? So I'm getting all of the information, I'm splitting it, I'm printing it out over here, and then we are displaying it for the user. So any questions about this, how I did this? No? Okay. If you wanted to make this fancier, what you could do is you could store all of this stuff in like a temporary session variable. So if they want to keep adding more grades, I can add 3 more grades here. If they want to keep adding more, you can like store all of these grades in a session variable, and then at the end, when they hit confirm changes, send it to the database at once. Here I'm sending it to the database every single time. So if you wanted to make it nicer, you could use sessions to make this nicer. Everybody's familiar by now with sessions, right? From Project 1, the Pizza ML. Yeah. Okay, so any questions about edit? No? Okay, so if we look then, What else do we have? List.php. Okay, so let's add some grades for this guy then. He's a very good student. And so let's say, okay, we can confirm our changes. So if you notice, confirm went to update.php. So update is actually where I had to now change this guy's record in the database. And so that uses yet another type of SQL statement. We can look at update.php here. So what do you think I have to do in update.php? Well, actually, let's just go through it. I connect to the database, right? I get my ID from the URL. And of course, if this were a real live website, we would be checking this very, very carefully. So here I'm using implode, which is the opposite of explode. It takes the array and it turns it into a string separated by commas. And then, okay, so here I'm actually using my student object, which I used from last week to like calculate the GPA and do all of that for me. So I'm creating this new student. I really don't care what his name is. I just want to use it to calculate my GPA. I'm creating creating it with this ID. And so what I'm doing now is I'm using the student method addGrade, which we looked at last week. So if you remember what we had for the student, we had, you know, the grades and the GPA were all private data types. So who remembers what having an object with a private data type meant? How could that data type be accessed? Right, exactly. So those private data types can only be accessed with methods internal to the object. They can't be accessed directly by somebody outside them. And so we had this method, addGrade, which just took the grade that you wanted to add, added it to the back of the array, and then recalculated the GPA. And we had calculateGPA, which just, you know, nicely calculated the GPA and set the thing. So we're using the object in this case just to calculate our GPA. And so there's a use of the object. I did say last week that we would use it. So if we go to update, once we add all of these grades, we're now updating the database, right? So we're adding the grades. Once we calculate everything, we're going to push this all to the database at once. So here I'm doing an update statement. Can everybody read this? Yeah? Okay, so update students, set grades equal to, and then I just have grades as that long string of grades, and then GPA equal to, you know, we're using the get GPA method from the student, and of course, I have to have a where on my update, because if I don't have a where, then it's just going to update every single row in the database, right? I only want to update my row, so I'm saying, update only the rows where the student ID contains the ID that I'm passing in, right? So update will then, you know, execute. And so who can tell me what's, like, not very good about this? What I'm doing here. Aside from the fact that, okay, so I'm not checking my input well, so maybe there's potential for SQL injection or something like that. What else is bad?
The fact that you're sending through URL, is it possible that you can just type in without any script, basically, that and update it?
Well, yeah, you can do that. And that would be like, you could do that through POST anyway. Mm. Like what I showed last week with the tamper data, you can do that via POST. GET or POST, doesn't matter. They're equally tamperable. So, like, who's to say, who knows that the student with this ID even exists yet, right? Like, what if somebody types in some random ID that doesn't exist, yeah? So update will actually give you a result, a true or false result, meaning, like, true, the update completed successfully. If update can't find the student, it's going to return me false. And so what I would do if, you know, I wanted to improve this, so I would have an if statement. If, you know, the result returns false, then I can say, there was an error, you know, maybe this student doesn't exist, do you want to try again, or something like that. So it's important, like, just to give you an idea, for the next assignment, CS75 Finance, probably 50 to 75% of the code you're going to write is going to be error checking and this sort of thing for the user. Like, seriously, the actual code that does work is very, very small. The code for error checking, like, if I put in, like, full error checking here, this would probably double or triple in size. So it's important to always have a lot of error checking. So everybody understands how update works now? Okay. So now, did I show you insert yet? I didn't show you my interface for adding a student, so we'll go to add, because that's an example of insert. So add a student, I'm just adding student ID number and phone number. And so where we look, add is going to add.php, right? And so here, like here's an example. One thing you might want to check is, do they give, you know, a name, ID, and a phone number for, you know, is each field filled out, right? Okay, so add a student, I'm doing the usual thing, which you've seen by now, and of course this code will all be on the website for you to look at. We're selecting the database, and now I'm doing insert into students. All right, so who wants to read this string and tell me what it's doing? This SQL query when I execute it.
So add a row to your database, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So what is it doing exactly? It's setting these four fields, right? Name, ID, phone, and GPA. And it's setting them with, you know, the values that we have from our student object here. So if you remember, our database had five entries, right? There was one entry for grades. So what happens to the grades entry? How come we're not setting that one?
It has a default value.
It does have a default value, exactly. And the default value is just, you know, a blank string or a string with a space in it. So yeah, we could have also not set the GPA because we specified a default value of -1 for our GPA. So when you do this, you don't have to insert all of the values in a row if you have default values for other things. But if you have no default value specified, and you have that, if you don't have the null box checked, which means a field's not allowed to be empty, you try and do an insert, you're going to get an error back because you're not giving it all of the fields. So, yeah, so when you're testing, like, before you write this stuff in PHP where it's hard to debug here, you might want to check to make sure your string is correct, your SQL query, just by, you know, doing something here. So like, for example, if I wanted to test select star from students, I just go, and then it's going to, you know, execute my query and give me back what I would gotten, in this case, these rows. Let's say I wanted to do an insert. So let's write an insert here together. So let's say I want to insert a student in. Okay, give me a name for a student. Any name.
Bob.
Bob. Okay, so his name is going to be Bob. We're going to insert Bob into this database. So what's the first thing I want to write here?
Insert into.
Okay. Into. So, and what do I want to insert into?
The name of the table.
Right. So the name of the table is students. And so there's actually... You'll see, like, sometimes there's quotes around things and sometimes there's not, and I'll explain that in a second. It's not a huge issue. So what am I going to do next? What do I want to insert?
Values.
Okay. So we'll have to put some stuff here, but values. So his name is Bob. So let's write Bob. Okay, he's going to have an ID number of, you know, whatever his ID number is. And... what do we want? Well, what else do we want to put? We want to put a phone number in for him. Okay, there's his phone number, right? We can leave GPA blank. We can leave grades blank because they both have default values. So if I'm putting in a name, ID, and a phone number for Bob, what do I need to put here?
Specify the names of the
items. Exactly, yeah. So I need to tell it what fields I want to insert these things in. Name, ID, and... this is case sensitive, actually. So ID, phone. And if we formatted this correctly, it should work. There. So we click go. It says one row is inserted. And you know, you can see that it's very fast. If we go look at our table now, we have a nice entry for Bob, too. So yeah, you can test using this SQL entry. Here. OK. Let's delete Bob. How do we delete Bob? What do you think? Just using, I haven't even shown you delete yet, but delete, you'll use the keyword delete, and it's going to be pretty similar to these other things. So, like, the SQL is intuitive in a way. It's sort of almost like natural English. So we're going to start off with delete. What do you think I'm going to want to do next to delete Bob?
From table name.
Delete from students. Okay.
Would you delete star from student? Do you have to specify what you're deleting, or does that come later?
No, this delete gets rid of the whole row.
Okay.
The whole row, yeah.
And then you say where.
Exactly. ID. Because if I just did delete from students, right now I'm deleting every single row. It might not actually let me do this, because this might be a common error and you don't want people to delete the whole thing. So exactly, I need a where.
Where ID.
Okay, exactly. So ID, or I can just do name equals Bob. And so since Bob is a string, I have to put it in quotes. I don't remember Bob's ID. And so if we do this now, do I really want to... See, it asks you if you want to delete, because it's... Okay, one row is deleted. There you go. So you didn't even see a delete statement, and you came up with it by yourself. So that's how easy SQL syntax is, actually. And so if you look at my remove thing, it's we do exactly that, right? We connect to the database, we select it, we... you know, and then that's it. Delete from students where ID equals the ID that we want to delete. And we make sure that it's true, and then we say student successfully removed. Otherwise, you know, the ID was an invalid number. So that's it. That's the entirety of this student app. And maybe we'll enhance it next week with some other things. So actually, one thing I didn't show you yet is the sort function. So if you'll notice, I had in my list here, index.php, list.php, I had something so I could sort students by, you know, their name, their ID number, their GPA. And so just to show you that the sort does work, let's add another student with a name of, like, Z and has an ID number of, you know, okay, let's give him an early ID number, phone number, doesn't matter. If we go to my student list. So let's add some grades for Z now. So let's say I want to sort by name. I click this. And I've sorted by name, right? If I click this, I sort by GPA. So the sorting works. So how do I do this? So I can tell SQL what order I want to get the rows in. So I can have it sort by a row. So if we go to list, what I do is I check to see if the user asked me to sort it by something, right? And if I do, I create this string, order by, and then the name of the entry. And then when I do my query, I just append this string here. So normally, if the user doesn't want to sort by anything, this string is blank, and then I get the rows in, you know, whatever order SQL gives them to me. Probably it's going to be the order in which they were added. But otherwise, I add this order by thing at the back, and then I get it. So in this case, we're doing, you know, select star from students, order by, and then our field was ID, what we ordered by name, right? So name, and then you can have ASC or DSC for ascending or descending, right? And so name ascending, meaning A's are at the top and Z's are at the bottom. And so that's it. It's literally that simple, and my stuff is sorted in order. So we just implemented sorting like that, just by appending this string to the end of the query.
So sort contains where whatever you specified.
Sort basically says, okay, so the string that we did looked like this. Okay. Select star from students. This is the normal string, okay? And then if I want to sort, I do order by, and then I can just do, you know, GPA ascending, if I want to do that, for example. Or I can do, you know, name ascending. And so basically what this means is process this query right here in the brackets, okay? And then whatever rows you get from this query, sort them in the order of, you know, name or whatever you're telling to sort it by. And so then it will give you back in that order. That's all order by does. And so there's actually a lot more SQL syntax. And so to help you on your way, we can do a quick Google for SQL syntax. And so actually there's the MySQL reference manual is probably the best place to go. And so you're going to want to go to data manipulation syntax, and then you'll see, like, here's delete syntax. So here, for example, is insert syntax, right? And you can do, like, really complicated stuff. You can do, like, inserts and selects at the same time, and you can do, like, for example, you can do insert. There's something called insert on duplicate update, which means insert this entry into the table. But if there's already an entry like this in the table, then just change these fields or something like that. So it gets really complicated. Generally, if there's something you want to do, there's a way to do it. So just Google for it, and you will find it in the manual. But I've shown you all of the basics, and maybe next week we will get into a little bit more complicated SQL syntax. So last thing, okay, so if you'll notice now, we're allowing, well, let's talk a little bit about security and why this is bad. So we are allowing users to, like, give us strings, and then we're passing these strings to the SQL engine, right? So if you remember, like, the first week or the second week, I did this example where I made the simple calculator with eval. And I said, okay, this is bad because we're allowing the user to execute, like, arbitrary code on our machine. And, you know, if they execute arbitrary code, they can do whatever they want. So we want to be really careful about what we allow them to do, what we allow them to pass in. And that's why checking is so important. So SQL injection basically means So if I do something like this, and let me just think about this. Let me look at my code. We'll try and come up with a SQL injection attack right now. So values, blah. Okay. So what I can do here is I can try to close off the SQL query by putting a semicolon, right? And then I can type in my own SQL query, like drop table. I don't want to do drop. Truncate table student. Truncate means delete every single record from the table. So I can do this. And maybe if I'm clever about it, if I format the string in the right way, okay, actually, so first, okay, let's just specify some fields first. Let's see what happens. Add the student. Your student truncate table students has been successfully added. But let's go look at my SQL table now. Let's see what I just did. Let's see if it works. I don't know if this will work. Go to browse. Okay, so it actually added this entry, truncate table students. But I'll try and come up with a working example for you next week. But the point is, if you don't format these things correctly, people will do bad things to your database. I will end with a comic. Hold on. Have people seen this comic? Yeah. So this is a popular, like, tech comic. And if you read it, you'll say here, you know, this is your son's school. Did you really name your son Robert Drop Table Students? Okay, drop table means completely delete the table. And so this is an example of a SQL injection attack that, you know, maybe this one would work actually on our thing. So this is a real risk. This is a real vulnerability. And so actually there's this pretty important function which you'll find yourself using a lot. It's called MySQL real escape string. And then you give it a string. Okay, and what this does actually is it will format this string in a way that it can't be interpreted as a SQL command. So if people put, like, special characters in the string, like quote or semicolon, something that's going to signify something to SQL, it will actually escape these with backslashes. So SQL won't interpret them as a command. So anything that you pass into your database on, you know, your real websites that you're going to doing, you're going to be creating for your projects, you're going to want to call MySQL real escape string on them. And we'll have some more examples of security next week. So now it's going to become a big concern. That's why I've spent so much time talking about it. All right, any other questions on this?
So that would sanitize that input?
That will sanitize the input, exactly. So
is it PHP that does it, or is it SQL?
No, so this is a PHP function. Yeah. It's probably some library or something, yeah. So I'd have new string equals MySQL real escape string. After I do that, I can safely pass new string into my database without worrying that it's going to completely mess something up or do something bad. So, but that doesn't obviate the need to, you know, if I ask for a phone number and somebody is types in some letters, I've got to like make sure that that matches. And you can do that with regular expressions, which we covered a few weeks back also. So this just makes sure I don't destroy my database. Other questions? No. All right, well, I'm going to stick around afterwards for office hours. Thanks very much. Next week, actually, I won't be able to be here. I've got a prior obligation to attend to, but you will be taught by Kent Rakeep, who is another TF. And he's very good, too. All right, thanks very much.